Now, last Thursday, I went down to St. Anne's Park, and Dublin City Council were holding the last of their spring sessions of Let's Walk and Talk. And Aine Ní Leabhanna was the tour guide, we will call it, around the park. And I got an opportunity to have a chat with some of the organisers, the participants, and with Maura Walsh, we had a chat with Aine Ní Leabhanna as well. So here we go. Now, I'm here in St. Anne's Park with Fiona Healy from Dublin City Council. Fiona, tell us what today is all about.
Hi, Michael. Today is an initiative called Let's Walk and Talk, which was set up by Dublin City Council about 10 years ago. It was set up at the Community Section by Ronan O'Donnell and Peter Finnegan. It's been very successful since then. These walks that we're doing today are usually led by Aine Ní Leabhanna or Pat Liddy. They're free to the public. We normally get between 60 and 150 people turning up at them. They're advertised on our website, and we also have a mailing list where we send out the walks to people. We also do weekly walks as well, which are led by a dedicated team of volunteers, and they turn up every week, and you can just turn up if you like it and not if you don't. The good thing about it is it's getting people out walking in the fresh air and getting to meet more people.
Fiona, thanks for that, and we'll join the walk.
Now there's a divided opinion about ivy. Is it a good thing, or is it spawn of Satan? Which is it? And of course it's a good thing, naturally enough, because what we have here, we're increasing the biodiversity. Now people think, oh, it's going to weaken the tree. Does that tree look weakened? What happens is that the ivy is a creeping plant. Again, like the holly, it has different shaped leaves when it's down low, and then when it gets up to the light, it actually puts on flowers and berries. So it's always trying to get up to the light, so it needs things to climb on. So it'll climb on trees, it'll climb on gateposts, it'll climb on ESB poles, it'll climb on you if you stood there long enough. It doesn't actually get any nourishment, all it gets is support. So this ivy on the tree is using the tree as a support. The roots are not going into the tree, it's not sucking juices out of it. The leaves are making its own food. Now, what it does do, and looking at those ash trees behind, what it does do actually is increase the weight of the tree. So a tree with ivy on it is heavier than a tree that doesn't have ivy on it. So if you have two trees of equal age, one covered in ivy and one not, and a big storm comes, the big fat one will fall down. But your big fat thing's always like, during its life, of course, it has had much more biodiversity. It's had berries, it has a cover, it's a shelter, you can have all sorts of birds' nests in there. And it's a much more friendly thing to have on a tree than one that's completely bare. So it's part of our biodiversity, it's not a baddie. People sometimes take away the ivy if you have a specimen tree and you want to see it. That's, but it's not a baddie in itself, and it's very much part of our woodland ecosystem. And that tree could very well have a dray in it for squirrels, because that's the kind of place that squirrels would be. Squirrels make a nest, but not like a bird's nest. They need a cork or a cap or something that they can actually tuck their sticks and things into. So they might very well have a dray. I know there's squirrels here in this park. I wrote a book called Wild Dublin, and the hardback version of it had a picture of a red squirrel from St. Anne's Park. 2008, they're all extinct now. The red ones are, because they've been ordered out by the greys. So the greys are here as a consequence. But we'll hardly see squirrels, a whole lot of us marching around like this. But I'm sure if you come to the park on your own, you probably will see squirrels, in fact. But squirrels anyway could have a dray up there, have a nest. But they don't hibernate, they gather up the nuts because they're awake to eat them in the wintertime. Why would you be gathering up all these nuts and then go to sleep for 6 months? That'd be completely bonkers. And yet every school in the country is still being taught that. I was in school yesterday down in Athy, and when I said the squirrels don't hibernate, they all looked at me like I had three heads. But Enid Blyton is not a scientist. And people who read about squirrels, nuts them and things, are convinced if you learn the wrong thing before your tree, you can't order it. So come to school if it's the thing wrong. So squirrels don't hibernate because they're gathered nuts to eat in the wintertime. Now, so hedgehogs do, but then you don't see hedgehogs gathered for slugs and snails, do you? They actually are asleep. Anyway, without any further ado, I'm going to walk to the end of this path without even stopping, even if Finn McCool appears.
Michael, what has brought you down today?
My next door neighbour has a plot down here, and she told us about it and asked us to come down. So, nothing better to do when you're retired.
And what have you thought of Aina's talk?
She's amusing, very interesting. The difference between the different kinds of trees. It's interesting. I never knew there was such a difference between them.
And the history of the park?
The history of the park, you know, I've never known much about it, even though I'm an outsider all my life. We've only come in here to this park once, and that was to have a cup of coffee. And we drive out to Holt regularly, a few days a week, walk out there. Never think of coming in here to walk.
And would you like to see more of these walks going on?
I said it'd be very interesting. I don't know how long the walk is going to be. I mean, at this stage of my life, I'm almost 90, and my walking days on these tours, they're short. So I wonder if they could be done to attract more of the younger people, because, as I say, this is my first time on something like this. But I think it'd be something that could attract the younger generation, who'd appreciate a facility like this more. Now, I noticed all the kids in playing grounds, and then thinking of an article in the paper recently, where they're going to commandeer some of the playing fields for St. Paul's, is it? And they're going to build houses all over the park. You know, I think a thing like that is absolutely ridiculous. The same with this Lewis business. They're going to dig up the Skull Katrina grounds to put in a station down around the Movie Road area. Their outlook for the future of the city is all haywire. And it's going to do a lot of damage to the young, for the environment generally, and the younger people will have nothing to do. They'll be doing the wrong things. A pity, but unfortunately that looks to be the way they're going.
Michael, thank you very much. I'm not going to hold you up. I know the walk is moving on in front of us, and we'll need to get after them.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nice talking to you too, yes.
The hawthorn. Now, look, it gets its leaves first, and then it'll get its flowers afterwards. And the flowers come out in May, so oftentimes it's called the May bush or the May blossom. And your mammy's all told you, cast no clout till May is out. And that meant that my mother thought, wear your vest until June. But in fact, it didn't. Once the May is out, once the flowers are out in the May, you can take off your vest. But anyway, my mother is dead and gone. I can't dig her up and tell her. But I was sweltered, because the weather seemed to be only good when you were wearing the bloody vest. But anyway, this is the May bush now. And if I could fly up in the air and take down a bit, you'd see the leaves and you'd see the small little buds of flowers about to come out. So they'll be out next month. And they're wonderful for bees because they're full of pollen, they're full of nectar, and they're one of the plants that we need to have to feed our bees, because the bees need food to have to be able to grow and to have their hives and all the rest of it. So if we don't plant things that have pollen in them or nectar in them, it's not good for the bees. So this is a good tree for bees, this one. Now, you want to be careful not to cut it down, though, because you could have a battle with the fairies, which wouldn't be good at all. But do you remember the bypass in Ennis? Yeah, that was designed about 20 years ago, I suppose. And there was a hawthorn tree in the way. And this was all terrible, it had to go. And the fellows who were working there refused to cut it down, because this was actually apparently not just any old hawthorn tree. This was the hawthorn tree that the fairies of Munster danced around with their king. So it wasn't just any old sort of suburban branch. And as a consequence, they wouldn't do it. And the foreman couldn't believe it. Like, this was like 1990-something, and here they were not going on about the fairies. So he had to go at it anyway, but he hadn't brought enough tools with him. He had to get a better saw. So he went into his car to go home to get the saw, and he had a car crash. I don't think he was killed, I mean, he wasn't. But anyway, he reckoned without the fairies. So they left the tree there, and there's a bend in the road. So if you go on that road round Dennis, and when you get round, it was on the milk cartons there a few years ago. The hawthorn tree is still there, and the road makes a bend, so they could do it when they had to. I remember having a fight with Jackie Healy Ray in Cork or Kerry about the road, and he telling me people are more important than frogs. But I tell you, the fairies are more important than people. Although trees are great, knock them down at your peril. Now, we're going to walk over the bridge, and I'm going to walk along this top of this ridge, and whenever I get to kind of a big place, we can stop again. So it's the Storm Beach, yeah, it is. It's a Gila feature, but the bay wasn't like this when it was formed. Okay, so we'll head over the bridge.
JJ, what brought you down today?
Well, basically, my wife is more interested in gardening and wildlife than I am. But since I've retired, I've got into this walking business, and certainly I'm enjoying it.
And what do you think of Enya's talk?
Quite interesting and very down to earth. She says it as she sees it. There's no airs and graces about her.
And her anecdotes are great.
Excellent, excellent. Well, the folklore that she comes out with, fantastic. And certainly, you know, how many times have you passed St. Anne's Park and you probably wouldn't even bother coming down here?
Well, yes, I was talking to another gentleman earlier, Michael, who's nearly 90, and he was just saying that even though he lives beside the park, he very rarely comes in.
Well, I don't. I live in Lucan, so I travelled in to come to the park.
And have you been to any of the other walks?
Not with Enya, but I have done the with Pat Liddy in the Messiah, and what was the other one? I can't remember now. But I've only recently retired, but so I'm just getting to know these walks.
Thank you for talking to me, and I won't hold you up.
Thank you very much.
Now, one of the things you might know about St. Anne's Park is that it's been streamed live as we speak, because there's a heronry here. Now, the heronry is where the herons' nests are. Now, the herons feed on Bull Island. They're out there in the mud. And then they come in and they lay their eggs in their nests, which are up at the tops of trees. Now, the herons are great big gangly birds. They think they'd have their nests on the ground or somewhere. But no, they have them up in the nests in the trees, and they're all together. So they're further along here. I suppose we shouldn't really go along and disturb them. But if you want to watch them, you can stream them live. Derek is always giving out the website. It's www. I don't know what it is. RTE.com/nature, it's not /Rooney, it's /nature. So we have the boundary wall here now of the estate, as you can see, and then the drop behind. So the tide came into the bottom of that hill, if you like, and then this was the actual coastline at one point. So that's where you have this drop, as it were.
We're with a visitor to these isles. Tell us your name.
My name's Gavin.
And where are you from, Gavin?
Originally from California, but I've lived here in Dublin for the last 8 years, in Ireland for 15 years.
And what has brought you along to the walk today?
Well, I like, you know, learning about the area, the various parks and the wildlife and everything, and Anna's very good at that, you know. She's very humorous, and the stories she tells are very interesting, you know.
Have you been to any of the other walks?
Oh, yeah. I try to go to as many as I can with this program. And, yeah, I've been all over the city, really, you know, from the south side, like along the River Dodder, to, you know, along the canals, you know, by Croke Park and Santry. So, yeah, I've been to quite a few of them.
Now, I'm not going to delay you, because I know she's gone up ahead and she'll be stopping shortly, and I'm sure you'll want to get her last anecdotes.
Definitely, yeah, can't wait.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
And of course, then you get all the conkers in the autumn time, which is lovely as well. Although I think they've banned kids now from playing conkers in school because of health and safety. How did we ever live? Yeah, they're the candles you get on the horse chestnut. Okay, well, listen, thank you all very much for coming on the walk with me. It's more talk than walk, I'm sorry to say, but thank you anyway.
So we're looking at the summer program now, which will be posted out to people who are on the mailing list, and also we're going to the dawn course, and the summer will be up on the website as well, and my number's on the back. So if you do want any more information, the first number on the back, the 222-5084, just give me a call at any stage if you're looking for more information. And thanks again to Aina, who was wonderful and interesting, and thanks a million for organising the weather as well, Aina.
So here we are with Aina Lilauna. She's author, presenter and environmentalist, and we've just finished a wonderful late spring walk.
It was great, wasn't it?
It's been absolutely, my senses are full, Aina. It's been amazing, and the stories, the folklore, the history, your vast knowledge of flora and fauna has been astounding. I was taking notes.
Oh, very good, very good indeed. Yes, I like to associate different stories with the trees or folklore and things, because it helps people to remember stuff. Otherwise, you're just saying this is this tree and this is that tree and another tree, and lists are boring. Whereas if this is the tree that Judas hanged himself on, and this is the tree that God cursed, and this is the one that the fairies love, I mean, that you certainly remember them when you see them the next time.
You absolutely, you keep keep it really balanced between the learning, the educational side of it, and the storytelling side of it. I love it. It's for all age groups, isn't it?
Well, it is actually, because I didn't have children here today because they're at school, but other times I go out with school children and they do love it as well. So it's, you know, you tailor your material to everybody, but the thing you're using all the time is nature, which is all around us, and that's the big thing.
You do, and I mean, I mean, you're here, as I said, in St. Anne's Park, but you travel all around our beautiful island of Ireland.
I do, yes, indeed. I'm off next month now up to Rathlin to look at the puffins. I'm looking forward to that. So Donegal then in July, I have teachers' courses up there on the bogs, and I was in Galway the other day. I'm all around the place, yeah.
So people should really just keep an eye on your walks with Dublin City Council, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. I walk with Dublin City Council. I think next week now I'm going to be in Ranelagh. In fact, next Sunday morning at half past four, we're doing the Dawn Chorus, just myself with the people. And then the following week, it's the real Dawn Chorus with Derek on the radio. So there's always something going on.
I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be one for the art show as well. Thank you very much for talking to us on Near FM 90.3 today.
You're very welcome, Tough Walter.
Tough Walter Sloan.